So if you have your Bible handy, let's look in Titus chapter 2. Now, Titus, he was a Gentile believer. Many believe from Macedonia. He was led by Paul to Jesus. And Paul even refers to him as his true son in the faith. This is what he wrote to Titus, but beyond Titus, it's what's written to all of us. Chapter 2, verse 1. You must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent, in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Now, it tells us about our places here. But it also tells us what we should be doing. You know, this is what the clarity of doctrine should have the effect in our lives, right? And the idea is about changing our behavior. Temperate, self-controlled, sound in faith. Teach women not to be, to teach them to be reverent and not slanderous and to be subject to their husbands. I mean, all of these are good things. This is the essence of doctrine. Similarly, encourage, verse 6, the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. You know, this is also, he makes the point in here, if you'll read between the lines, so that the, what people don't notice is the point that he wants to make about older men being an example to younger men. Not just in what they teach them to do, but how they teach by example. Let me read that again. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled in everything. Set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. Now, this is all, again, the essence of doctrine. And in it you see the effect of pure doctrine. Teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything, to try to please them, not to talk back to them, not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God our Savior attractive. Now I want to stop right there. Obviously, we don't have any slaves, right? Teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything. Try to please them, not to talk back to them, and not to steal from them, but to show they can be fully trusted, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God our Savior attractive. Now, notice what he didn't say. Go free the slaves. You're Christians now. Free your slaves. This is what he's telling to teach slaves. And he's not just talking about teaching somebody else's slaves. I want to make a point because there's two points. This was a custom of the time, slavery. It was an institution of the time. You know something else that was an institution of the time? the same thing that doesn't exist today, as far as our culture, slavery, is the same thing that doesn't exist in the way marriages were. Teach the older women to be reverent in the way they should live, not be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but teach what is good, so that they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, to be busy at home, and to be kind and be subject to their husbands, that no one will malign the word of God. Those things still apply except for one thing. In our culture, they won't necessarily be busy at home, will they? This is a good exercise to train our understanding as to what has changed, what can be changed, and what cannot. Let me say that again. This is a good example, this comparison between women who are married and slaves gives you a good idea of what has changed, what can be changed, and what cannot. In other words, the difference between culture and a command of Scripture. The apostle here is saying to teach older women to be reverent, and that's good. Teach them to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers. That's also good, still applies today. Or addicted to much wine, that's also good, should apply today. Or to teach what is good, that's right, should apply today. They can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, something that's not being done, but should be. To be self-controlled and pure, something also that should be done. To be busy at home, to be kind and be subject to their husbands so that no one will malign the word of God. Well, they should be busy at home if they don't have to work. Everybody see that? Something has changed there, huh? Because in our culture, women aren't staying home with the children. They're working, because it takes two to support a family. It takes more than that. Where they can be, maybe that's what they should be doing. But where they can't, that doesn't necessarily apply. Well, we have the same thing with slaves, don't we? There are no more slaves. Teach slaves to be subject to their masters. So how does this change? Because we don't have slaves in our culture. Today, you wouldn't teach a slave to be subject to his master. You'd say, you're free. There's, in this, in the laws of this land, there is no slavery. But we can teach people to be subject to those who are above them, right? We can teach people to be obedient to the people who have hired them to do a job and not take advantage of them, right? We can teach people not to talk back to their bosses or to their fathers or to their teachers or to their mothers, right? Or to the policemen or to the judges, right? People in authority. So even though this has changed, there are no slaves, this hasn't really changed, has it? Because you know what? You're going to serve somebody. In this society or any other, there is a tier system of where you belong. You may be over people, but you're always going to have somebody or some institution over you. And this teaches you, you can look at this, what it teaches slaves, and you can take a page from it. But you're not a slave anymore. Just like a woman can look at this about what women were taught there and take a page from that. But there's one or two things that doesn't necessarily apply to them. But the general gist of everything has not changed. Now, I want you to notice something that of the things that have not changed, what they have in common. All right? You must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Teach older men to be temperate and worthy of respect. That is an aspect of love. If you're teaching older men to be temperate and worthy of respect, then you're teaching them to emulate emulate the Father. What do you think? Is that true or not true? You're teaching them to act as a father, to show love. Because at the basis of being temperate and worthy of respect and self-controlled, those are all aspects of a father. Right? Be self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Wow. The power to be that example comes from God. It's an example of love. Teach older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine. When you look at women, older women, they should picture the church. Instead of putting a woman here, let's put the church. Be reverent in the way they live, not be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. That's what a church should be, huh? So we see that men here should emulate the Father, right? And women should ascribe to emulate what the church should be. Thus they can train the younger women, and you can apply that to other congregations, can't you? New congregations. To love their husbands and children. See, it's all love. All of this proceeds from love. All of it proceeds from love. This is what we have to show the world. Love. Be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home and to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, subject to Jesus, a church should be, so that no one will malign the word of God. You see how that adapts to a church real easily? Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled in everything. Set them example by doing what is good. A father sets an example for his sons. Right? The older men of the church should set an example for the younger men of the church by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned. All this is about fatherhood, right? Teach slaves. Now, I want you to put yourself in the position. Remember, every free man is the Lord's slave, and every slave is the Lord's free man. Teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything. We must teach that the people of God are subject to Christ in everything. To try to please them, our masters, to try to please him. Not to talk back to them, nor to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted. Not to take from the grace of Christ for ourselves. Let me give you an example of how that works. Long time ago, I was out on the street witnessing to people. And I run across this girl that I was called to witness to about Jesus. But I ended up desiring her for me. And soon, it became more about my desire than God's desire. You could say that I was stealing from my master. How many of you can see that? I was using the excuse of why I was out there, the valid reason I was out there, for my own use. Now, you may not realize that when you're a younger guy, but it's something I did come to understand that I had done. Teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything. That means complete submission. to try to please them, please Christ. To try to please Christ. If you have it in mind that it's Jesus that you're going to please, right? That's something you should keep in your mind. Not to talk back to them, not to steal from them, but to show they can be fully trusted, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God our Savior attractive. When we willingly submit ourselves to Christ in love, in this love relationship that we're talking about through this whole thing, whether it be women, men, or young men, or slaves, all of this is about the free will worship of love. And that's how we make it attractive, because we show a relationship with God. Right? For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These then are the things you should teach. Encourage and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you because of your age. Do not let anyone despise you. But you see the point, that these things aren't just about the things themselves. These things are not just about a time that gone by that's become passé. These things are not about a tradition from another culture that doesn't fit here. These things are all current and transferable, every one of them. It just depends on how you're looking at them. If you're looking at them carnally and you're saying, well, women don't belong in the home anymore, that's not progressive, and we don't own any slaves anymore. If that's the way you're looking at it in just that carnal manner, then it gives you license to feel free to pick and choose what it is you will follow and what it is you will not. But as you can see what I've just done with the scripture, it leaves you no license. Does it? That every one of those things in spirit are transferable to you, whether we're talking about the church of which you're a member, whether it's you're called to be an example of a father, whether you're called to be the example of a son, whether you're called to be the example of a slave. All of those demonstrate a relationship between you and God. All of those demonstrate a relationship about you and your submission to God. All of those things show that it is done out of love, and that it is the example of God's love that really preaches what the gospel is to people who see it. Let me say that again. It is the example of that love, of God's love, that really preaches the nature of the gospel to those who witness it. Isn't that awesome? And whether you're a man or a woman or a slave, no matter what it is you are, you can relate to those nuances of the relationship between you and the Father through his Son Jesus. And you are a benefactor of the grace and the blessed hope that's shown to us through Jesus Christ. You have incentive, eternal life. And what's more, you have an encouragement of love not one of a whip or fear, but an encouragement here of love. If you noticed, everything we've talked about, I'll say it again, is an example of love, because it's all a demonstration between you and God, between you and your Father, between us and our husband, between us and our Master. It's a relationship that, if it's held in faith, this relationship, it will preach love in the way it performs, automatically by nature. It will preach love, and therefore preach God. Amen? That's a good place to stop. Questions or comments, please feel free.